Welcome to Empath, conversations and intentions around meaningful marketing for soulful, sensitive, empathic entrepreneurs. Join me, the feral writer, to talk with truth and texture about creativity from the heart space, marketing with meaning and emotion. This is Empath. Hi guys, and welcome back to Empath. And welcome to April. I can't believe how fast this year is going. In April, I've launched a new creative quarterly in my membership Empress, and I've called it the Cosmic Quarter because it's all about those esoteric practices and spiritual elements to my business, the way I work with different forms of consciousness and the way I draw creativity from almost another dimension. So in the membership this month and this quarter, you'll find a workbook, you'll find a video all about how I work with these things. But to accompany that today, I'm doing a little podcast episode, just a short episode on five spiritual practices that I use in my business. So I'm going to explain these to you in brief. If you are interested in finding out more about these, in working with me to learn about how you could use astrology and lunar cycles and manifestation and all these sorts of things, if you want to learn more about how to apply these to your business, definitely consider joining my membership community Empress. I have a special offer on for April because it's my birthday month. So when you use the code COSMIC, you get a quarter of Empress for £111 rather than £222. So definitely come and join Empress. Come and consider joining. Use the code COSMIC for your offer. But without further ado, let's get into this episode. So five spiritual practices that I use in my business, starting with number one. And number one had to be astrology, because everyone knows how passionate I am about astrology. And since I really began really applying it, you know, I've dabbled in astrology for a decade, but when I really started applying it, learning at a deeper level, and I'm not saying you have to learn at a deeper level to work in your business with the astrological energy. I'm not saying that. But for me, the more I knew, the more I could apply. And now I'm applying that to my clients through my coaching clients, through astrology readings. You know, I do one-to-one readings and I've got a promotion on that for members this month, but also through the membership. You know, I've just done a live session in the membership on how to use astrology to help with your business through your natal chart, through transits, through progressions, through how we apply astrology to improve our businesses. I've just done a live session on this and you can access that in the membership, and it's over an hour long and will give you so much information, so much juicy information and examples on how you can use astrology to time what's going to happen for you, you know, predictive astrology, which I love the most. For me, I'm looking at a combination of perfections, progressions, transits, solar returns, even lunar returns. You know, I'm looking at all these things when I'm trying to see what's coming in. Eclipses is a big one. You know, right now as I'm recording this, I've just had an eclipse in my career house. And let me tell you, I'm going through some massive changes. And that's reflecting, starting to reflect on the outside now. I feel like when planets are going through your 10th house, when you're going through eclipses hitting your workhouses, when you're going through a solar return where the ascendant for the year is your 10th house sign, these are things that will really impact your astrology and what comes up for you in the year ahead. And even the month ahead, you can tell so much by what is happening in the cosmos. So it's really powerful. And then I'm tagging this on to part one, even though it's technically something different, but it sort of complements it. And that is lunar phases. You know, I spend a lot of time looking at the phases of the moon. I work with new moons, I work with full moons, but I also look at every stage of the moon. You know, some stages are better for taking action. Others are better for taking less action and just seeing what happens. So for example, a full moon. On a full moon, I'm more likely to do sort of an assessment to sit and look at where things are, what needs to be done next. When the light is full, when the light is illuminating everything, what is it showing me? And I sit and I pay attention. I'm not manifesting, I'm not calling anything in. I'm shedding, I'm releasing, so I'm letting go of things. And I'm thinking, are we on course? It's a course correction time. Am I moving forwards towards this? Do I even still want this? It's a question that I would often ask on a full moon. Whereas on a new moon, I'm putting my wishes in place. I'm calling in what I want and I'm working with the energies of that particular moon. And that moon is a different moon for different people. So there's general themes. So, you know, whereas you might want to go for more balance or more beauty during a Libra moon, because those are Libra themes, it's also about saying, where is Libra in my chart? You know, if Libra is in your seventh house and you're looking for a partner, it might be a really good time to set that intention. So it's knowing where each moon falls in your chart and how to work with it. And also how to work with the eclipses, because, you know, traditionally you don't manifest on an eclipse, and I would never recommend manifesting on an eclipse, but it's how you know what's coming up for you and use that to work with it. You know, it's not fatalistic. I don't believe that at all. And I don't ever want to fearmonger, because at the end of the day, astrology doesn't make you do something. You know, the saying is the stars impel, they do not compel. And this is so true, that you get free will, you get to make the choice, but it's deciding how you work with that energy. Would you rather get in the water when the tide's going the right way to go with you swimming, or when it's going against you and you're swimming against the current? If you're looking for romance, there are times when that current is going a particular way, and I would advise you to swim. You know, now's the time, go out, go on dates, you know, go meet people. And likewise with your career, there are times for opportunities and there's times when you should be retreating. And for me, this year has been one of retreat. And I realise not a lot of people will probably know that, because I've not really retreated from your perspective. But from mine, I have. I've taken a lot more time out, a lot more time to myself. And I've really reflected on where I'm going next before the changes that are coming now. So it's about how you work with the energies and how you know what's coming up for you. And that's a combination of the astrology and the lunar cycles. Number two is crystals. I love crystals, and it's not as simple as just owning all the crystals. Or people say to me, I haven't got the budget to have crystals. You don't need a big budget. You can literally get a few tumble crystals. And the most important thing is not to have, you know, a crystal kit. Like, I want to have a piece of clear quartz and a piece of amethyst and a piece of citrine. You don't need to do that. You can just go to your local crystal stockist and see what calls to you. And that's the best way to get any crystals. To turn up and just see what comes. See what draws you, what you fall in love with, what is calling your name. You know, I went shopping recently and I wanted a piece of amethyst. And I came out with a black moonstone because it absolutely called my name. And the crystal knows better than you do what you need from it. So I always pick up the crystal that I need, even if I don't know anything about its meaning, because I'll find that out later. Crystals are good for a variety of things. They're good for abundance, they're good for manifestation, they're good for protection, they're good for healing, they're good for grounding, they're good for love, self-love. There's so much that, and clear quartz is a brilliant crystal because it amplifies other crystals. You can wear them. Wearing them on your skin is one of the best ways to get their energy because you're close to it all the time. You can hold it. I love these little palm stones you can get. You know, they're sort of pebbles. And you can hold them and sit and meditate with them in your hands, or you can place them on your body. You can lie down and place them on your body when you meditate, so they're on the chakra points. You know, there's so many opportunities. I like big points and I can hold them. I've got a really big amethyst geode in my lounge and I like to be able to look at that. I've got a nice big piece of labradorite. You know, it's whatever calls to you and whatever you want to work with at the time. So I went through a phase of having smoky quartz with me all the time. And then I felt like I kind of got past that. And now the smoky quartz is there if I need it, but I don't use it as much. That was a stage in my life when I really needed that crystal. And some crystals come in and out of your life. You know, there was a time when pink tourmaline was so crucial to me and to my journey. And I still have the most beautiful raw piece of pink tourmaline by my bed that actually is in a lot of my photo shoots, so you can see it. It is the most stunning piece, and the photo shoot doesn't even show its raw beauty. It glistens when you hold it. It's magical. It was one of the most expensive crystals I've ever owned, but I adore it. But I don't work with it so much now. Now it's beautiful next to my bed, but it's not something I'm working with as much. And that's it. Crystals come and go in phases depending on what you need. You can create crystal grids. You can meditate with them. You can place them in rooms. Different crystals are good for different things. You know, black tourmaline is really good next to your computer, because it really helps with technological problems, although not so much for me, it turns out. And it takes more than a crystal to help me out technology-wise. But I find black tourmaline very good for protection and shungite is another one. I call it my fuck off stone, because when I'm wearing it, and I do actually love the black stones, I'm very drawn to them. I've got a lot of onyx, I've got a lot of black tourmaline, I've got a lot of shungite. You know, I tend to always go for these black crystals. I feel very protected because I am susceptible to a lot of energy vampires. There's always been a lot of people out there who take from me, and I feel like these crystals help form a protection for me as well. And I recommend, you know, a crystal like black tourmaline as one of the ones you keep, or an amethyst is a good one for. Amethyst really helps me psychologically. I can just hold a piece and it opens my third eye instantly. But a lot of it's about just sitting with the crystal and asking it for the message that it's got for you. And I find that, I really get downloads when I do that, and it's really powerful. So use crystals to support your work. There's crystals for productivity. There's crystals for creativity. You know, there's so many different types. But I would honestly recommend, before you go through a book and say, what's good for this, what's good for that, that you just go and pick a stone that calls to you, that you love. And I think you'll be surprised how powerful that is, just keeping that stone with you for a day or two. Oh, and don't forget to cleanse your crystals. And you can cleanse them by pouring them under running water, by using a smudge stick, or putting them in a stream. I actually like just putting mine out under the full moon, and that does it as well. The third thing on my 5 spiritual practices to support my business is manifestation. And anyone that's been following me for a while will know how passionate I am about manifestation. I have an entire book on manifestation called Manifested, which is available to all members of Empress. So if you're in Empress and you haven't read it, you can get a copy of that, and it's included in your membership. And Manifested actually is a 20 sort of section book on 20 things you can do. And there's more than 20 at the end, but 20 essential things that you can do to improve your manifestation. And I get so many emails from people who have changed their lives through manifestation and following Manifested and the guides within it. But in the membership, I've done a light touch on manifestation. So if you don't want to commit to reading the whole book, but you want to sort of get started with your manifestation practice, definitely check out the Cosmic Quarter, because there's a bit in there as well. Essentially, it's about calling in what you want. It's about having a vision for what you want. And, you know, mood boards and screenshots and things like this all really help. I find that the things that I screenshot are what I attract, whether that's positive or negative. You know, a few years ago, I went through some skin problems, and my skin started playing up, and I started getting acne in my adult years. And I was photographing my skin every day to track my progress, right? But every time I opened my camera roll, all I was seeing was loads of acne skin, and I was reinforcing it for myself. Once I learned to flip that and take photographs of people with really nice skin, I'd go looking for nice skincare adverts or facialists, and I'd screenshot their pictures. I managed to pull my skin back to the point where I didn't change any products, and people started saying to me, your skin looks amazing. Oh my God, what have you done to your skin? You look incredible. Where do you get your face done? All these sort of things came in. I hadn't changed a single thing. All I changed was the content that was surrounding me and the way I thought about myself. Instead of every day saying, my skin is bad, I'm worried about my skin's flaring up, I started to say, my skin is clear, I am calm. You know, I am clear. I started talking differently to myself, and that really affected my skin as well. I've done it with things. If I wanted things, and the perfect example is the house that I live in, you know, I lived in a house that was perfectly nice, but I didn't like it. I really didn't like it. And a few people were, like, you know, pleasant about it, but it had its downfalls. And we nicknamed it the Minak, because the theatre in Cornwall, the Minak, is built into the cliff and looks up. You know, you're down, the stage is very low down, and you're looking up towards the cliffs. And our house was set down with lots of houses built very high up above us. So if I was in my back garden, I genuinely did feel like I could have been on stage at the Minak. But I mean, it wasn't bad. I was 5 minutes walk from the beach. I was in a brilliant location. It was modern. It was a really beautiful house. But it wasn't my house, you know. I physically couldn't get a wood burner in there, even if I tried. And boy, did I try. The configuration of the house wouldn't allow for it. And even if it had allowed for it, it was such a modern house. It was too warm. I wouldn't have even needed to light it, not even one day of the year, because it was never dropping below 20 degrees. You know, it was a lovely house, but it wasn't for me. And I was horrible to this house, really. I was constantly going, oh, I wish our house had this, or this. The porch. I had a real problem with the porch, because there wasn't one, right? You walk in the front door, and I mean, this was a really bad design. You walk in the front door, and right in front of you is the garage, and to the left is the downstairs bathroom. and to the right is the lounge. So you walk in to three doors. You go forward into the garage, which the door, by the way, opened towards me. So to get in my garage, I had to step outside of my house to open the garage door towards me. I went into the toilet on the left. We went into the lounge on the right. If you try to get in with two children, someone's always in the rain while someone's trying to get their shoes off. There's nowhere to put shoes, and you can't physically put shoes anywhere, because to put a shoe somewhere, a door is going to hit it. The design was awful, and don't get me started on trying to get a pram in there. I spent a lot of time going on and on about the bloody porch. You know, the non-existent porch. We even got an architect to find out if we could get a porch. And it was so long-winded trying to get a porch and a wood burner into this house that it ended up being cheaper to move. But we couldn't move, guys, because nobody was interested in buying our house. We were on the market, we couldn't sell, we came off the market, we went back on with a different agent, we couldn't sell. Anyway, we came off the market in the end, and I decided, look, I'm stuck with this house, I'm going to change my attitude. And I started appreciating what I had. Our house was honestly stunning. We paid a fortune to have really nice flooring, we had shutters throughout, so I started really thinking about the things I loved. Being on the beach in 5 minutes, being a nicer area and a really hot south-facing garden and four bedrooms and beautiful immaculate decor and, you know, all the things I loved. And I didn't think about the porch and the lack of wood burner. And then one day we got a phone call from the estate agent that we were on with before saying, I've got a buyer for your house. I said, but we're not on the market. He said, no, but I have a buyer. And just like that, as soon as I changed my attitude towards the house, it changed everything. And the house I'm in now, we honestly didn't believe we'd get it. I mean, we fell in love with another one first that we didn't get, that we really were upset about, but it turned out there was something better for us. And the first thing we noticed when we walked in was the porch. The porch, I can't even call it a porch, the entrance hall for where we live now, is bigger than our lounge in our old house. It's probably bigger than our lounge and our dining room. And it's insane to me that we walked in and it took our breath away, that I could hold a party in my hall now. You know, and I spent ages wanting this hallway, and now I've got this most beautiful entrance hall. And I manifested that by looking at houses I loved, looking at what I wanted. Instead of criticizing what I didn't want, I started turning around the way I felt about what I already had. And manifestation does involve gratitude, and there's a whole section on gratitude in the Cosmic Quarter, but it's looking at what you want to feel like as well. I spent a long time focusing on the feeling of being next to a fire. I went to local hotels and I would honestly sit there in my socks, in my snuggly socks, with a book and a coffee, and I'd pretend it was my house. I'd close my eyes and I'd pretend I was in my lounge, in my comfies, knowing that I had to get my mind there in order to get the reality there. And the house we're living in now, you know, I manifested all of it down to I wanted a utility room, I wanted a south-facing garden, I wanted a certain type of living in this house, I wanted his and hers dressing rooms. We got all of it. We got all of it. And genuinely, I just don't know how we got this house. The estate agent who sold us this house, he didn't show it to anyone else. He just liked us, and he's gone on to become a dear friend. And we got this house because of him. And I will forever be grateful for that, because if anyone else had looked at this house, we wouldn't have had a hope in hell. And we got it because of a combination of some brilliant luck, some incredible, very lengthy manifestation work, and a really kind-hearted estate agent. So definitely, if you haven't got a manifestation practice, you want to look at incorporating one now. Number four is tarot or oracle cards. You know, I highly recommend these. I use them in Empress, in our yin sessions. And actually, it's so heartwarming to see how many Empress members have gone on to use them since they've been introduced to them through the membership. And actually, so many members have got the same decks as well, which is just so lovely to see, you know, that ripple effect of seeing everyone being inspired and encouraged to dip their toe into using oracle cards. We actually have a really amazing tarot reader in Empress as well, who is phenomenal, called Claire. But essentially, I don't read tarot, you know, professionally. I know how it's associated with the astrology, but that's it. But I love to pull cards in our sessions. And outside of that, in my work, if I get stuck, if I need inspiration, if I am having a day where I just think, oh, what do I need? What do I need to know? I pull a card and it will immediately spark something in me that sets me off on another path. So again, with the tarot decks or the oracle decks, I recommend going out and finding one that calls to you, seeing what resonates with you, what feels right, and just you know, enjoying it, listening to the messages, being inspired by the messages. I actually find they're really useful as journal prompts. So in Empress, we do a journaling session, and then at the end of the session, I'll pull a card for the collective. And it's always uncanny that so many of the themes that people are writing about come up in the cards. But at home, sometimes I do the reverse, and I pick a card, and then that's my prompt for what I'm going to write about. And of course, I go off on a tangent, but it's a great starting point if you don't know what to journal about. And the last one, number 5, is affirmations and visualization. It is what we say. You know, what you say to yourself, your words have so much power. Your words are a spell that you speak over yourself. So when you say, I've got bad skin, what do you think is going to happen? I can tell you what happened. Or you say, I'm poor, or I don't have enough money, or even, I have no debt. That might be positive, but you're still saying the word debt. We've got to choose our language with intention in our work and in our manifestation practice. So the things you say, they change everything. I am strong. I am abundant. I feel inspired. You know, whatever it is that you want to feel in the morning, if you wake up and you feel like, no, I can't do this today, like, that's no good to anyone. But if you wake up and you think, I am inspired, even when you're not, guys, just say it, just humor me. Say, I am inspired. Get up and just try and lean into that energy, and it will change everything. It will become a habit when you start using these affirmations. And in Empress, we have a session every single month called Soul Chat, where we're setting our goals and we're speaking into the world what we want for the month ahead. And the final thing we do is we set an affirmation for the month. And it's just one affirmation. You can say one, you can say multiple affirmations, and you can dot them around your house or have them in one place. You know, I like to do mine when I'm doing my teeth, so I'm repeating them in my head. And when I make tea and coffee, I have them next to the station where I make my tea and coffee, so I know what I'm focusing on for the week. You know, so rather than saying, I have a lot of work to do, I'm saying, I am productive and efficient and creating the most amazing work for my clients, or whatever. It's something that puts you in a positive state of mind and feels like you're saying it with intention. The intention's everything. And when it comes to visualization, it's about seeing in your mind what you want things to be like. That fire was a perfect example. Closing my eyes, being next to the fire, imagining my own wood burner in my house. That's visualization that actually came true. My wood burner, guys, is the dream wood burner. I could never have imagined I would have such a beautiful wood burner because I never imagined I'd have such a beautiful house. But I manifested this burner. I've got a burner that's so big and high strength that it honestly could be in a hotel. And I imagine that's why, because I sat in a hotel and I imagined this moment over and over. You know, I've imagined the feeling of so many things that have come true for me because I saw them in my mind first. And that's what all the greatest athletes are doing. They're seeing them in their mind first. So, I mean, if you're thinking this is a bit woo and a bit out there and you're not too sure, I encourage you to just try it. Just try it. Just try it. Even if you just try these 5 things for 1 month, I think you'll see a massive difference. We always finish every episode with an invitation to set an intention. And today that intention is, how are you going to use these spiritual practices for your own business? What one spiritual practice could you incorporate for April? What one thing could you do for April? I mean, I'm calling it astrological April. Not that it has to be astrology, but if you were interested in astrology, then you know we've got a whole section on the membership, a whole live session which you can check and go back and learn about it. It can be anything you choose. It can be you're going to get a crystal this month, or you're going to journal this month, or you're going to start tracking your dreams this month. What one thing are you going to do this month to set the ball in motion, to just try approaching your work through a spiritual lens? Because guys, I've always been very spiritual, but I only started applying it to my work about 15 years ago. And it's made a huge difference to me, and it's made a huge difference to my clients. You know, I've introduced a lot of this work with one-to-one coaching clients over a long period of time. So it's not just me being lucky. I've seen this work time and time again with entrepreneurs from different countries all around the world. So before you poo-poo it, I definitely think you should try it. Because if you don't know, you'll never know, right? But it might just change your business. It might just be the best thing you ever do. You might just manifest yourself into a new reality. So do check it out. Do consider checking out Empress. Remember, if you want to join me for a quarter, you can get access to all the stuff I'm talking about. The workbook, the video, there's a live session at the end of the quarter where you can ask me anything, you can get a discount on astrology readings with me, you can access the replay for the astrology webinar, all of these things, and you can get it for £111 for the quarter rather than £222 if you use the code COSMIC. So definitely go check that out. Let me know how you get on with these spiritual practices and any that you incorporate. I would love to know. And remember, guys, whatever you do, all you've got to be is true. Thank you for listening to Empath, the podcast for meaningful marketing for soulful creatives. If you want more from me, head to my website, jesscollins.co.uk, and check out my membership community, Empress, where you will find a community of heart-centered creatives, the Empress Practice, my signature 7 chapters of soulful marketing, and weekly live sessions, from soul goal setting to journaling and personal access to me. The doors are currently open. Be sure to message me on Instagram at @TheFeralWriter to let me know how you found this episode. Take care, and I'll be back next week.